Well, first of all, there's no one answer for how to engage and communicate. And I don't mean communicate just in one direction, but communicate with families and caregivers. We need to do a lot, partly because we're not a community where you can rely on one way of interacting with families and expect that you're going to really fully engage with the entire community.
But there's still a baseline. I would like to know my child's curriculum or how my child did on a interim assessment, or there's a baseline where providing some way of communicating, what parents describe goes not, there's a different way to communicate with different parents, but parents talk to the teacher, the principal, the central administration, go and try to work the system in whatever way the school will allow and come up empty-handed.
You know, something that I haven't had an opportunity to talk about very much so far this campaign cycle, this election year, that I think actually in part would help address this. I think we should have an ombuds program. Often it's called ombudsman, but you know, it's obviously not just people who identify as men. An ombuds program where parents have somebody. I mean, I think sometimes the family liaisons kind of serve in this role a little bit, but it's not really what their role is designed to be, and it's not really what they are being supported to do.
In many cases, they work as to shield the school from, you know, somebody to liaise with the families, let's throw that person to do it.
Oh, that would be a concern, right? It's not an experience I've had, but
It depends on the school. It really depends on the elementary school. And some of this works great, and some of this works...
Well, as I say, I think in general, I mean, family liaisons is a separate topic, but again, I think that we have really wonderful people in those roles, but I think that we need to make sure we have kind of thought through what our expectations are for what we're trying to accomplish with that role, and then that we support those people to succeed at that. And that we're clear as we're bringing people on in those roles, this is what the role is. And maybe, I know we have a lot of wisdom amongst those family liaisons that we can, some of the people either been in that role before or now, that we could help inform a clear thing. But what I was going to say about an ombuds program is a place to go where you, where it can be confidential, where you have somebody who can advocate or connect you with the right advocate on whatever issue that you're running into. Because, it can be hard. Look, I am a person who, as I mentioned, right, as anybody who's looked at my literature knows, right, I've had a career in education. I've been a teacher. I have a master's degree in education from the Harvard Grad School of Education. I've got two kids who have been in these schools, so I've now been an active parent in these schools as a parent of a current student for, 8-10 years. I guess it's like 8 years since my daughter started. All that said, I find myself at times, having difficulty getting the information I want promptly, or not being certain who the right person is to ask, or not wanting to send the emails to the principal if that's not their role, but wanting to send it to somebody, not being sure who that right person is, or where the line is between, I'm being unreasonable. We need somebody to help guide. And that's coming with all of those advantages, I would say, into that situation. I'm also a native English speaker, right? It's a bunch of things that make it so much easier. And incidentally, making sure we have even more robust translation and interpretation services would be helpful, both in terms of what comes out written, where a lot of times now schools are using Google Translate. It's something, but it's not perfect. There are ways to do this. Medical organizations find ways to do this, and I think it's a worthy expense to incur, because you might need to have a phone interpretation system. There are a number of things we can do. Okay, so that's a lot, but I do think that having an ombuds program would be a really great step that we could, I think, take pretty quickly.
That would help a lot.
Would help, and then there's lots of systems that I think you were kind of touched on a bunch of different systems that could use work, so that even if the intention is that, you can always see your kids' grades or the assessments, I think it can be difficult, depending on the system that's in place, for teachers to do that part without being burdened with more than with stuff that goes that takes them away from preparing for their classes, where parents can find it easily. And
in most cases, these things, schools that implement things like this have it automatic. Parents log into an online portal, there's a place where if they can't do it, somebody helps them who's not the teacher, but most parents, you know. So you build bridges. But in most cases, the expectation you have to contact the teacher seems like a very burdensome one on the teacher, and especially on parents who are intimidated to make that contact.
Yeah, or who just simply don't have time at a reasonable hour to call the teacher.
Or who don't know about their rights.
Yeah, or again, the language. There's a lot of things that, and so it should, I think that, you know, we need to think about this as, you know, the kind of open and engaged schools that I think we want. Mm-hmm. It's not a, like, oh, you're denying me my rights. It's like, we all want this, I think, but let's make it happen in a way that, as you say, is sort of seamless for everybody.
I don't think we all want this. I think that within the central administration, you see a lot of reluctance to be open.
Well, I think to the degree that there's pushback on that, I think we need to look, we need to have some conversations and figure out where that's coming from. Because
there's a lot of pushback.
And I think, you know, I think we need to look at where that's coming from. I mean, we do, of course, need to, I say of course, but we do need to respect our teachers as professionals. If we, you know, and so we're not trying to, I don't think, we're talking about, oh, let's set something up that, with an expectation that any parent who wants will be able to help rewrite tomorrow's lesson plan through X, Y, and Z, you know, critiques or whatever. Having an opportunity and enough opportunity to communicate with the teacher, understand what they're doing, express concerns you have about how this is working for your child or not working for your child. Great. It's not, this isn't like, this shouldn't be a confrontational system. And I feel like sometimes we get into that kind of trap. So I'm eager to avoid getting into that trap, and also to ensure that, at least in my capacity, hopefully as a school committee member, mm-hmm. that I'm contributing to a really collaborative way of working, mm-hmm. with holding intentions and impact both as important, mm-hmm. On that committee itself and in the interaction with and oversight of the district. Because one of the key roles of the school committee, key responsibilities, is oversight of the superintendent, and, you know, by extension, the administration. If you hopefully respect their expertise and an approach and values. If you don't, you need somebody new probably in those roles. But even when you do, it's an active oversight role that doesn't have to be antagonistic, but has to be active.